What we need is King Jesus to exert his authority by declaring us not guilty, so that we can have freedom from our sins and, more importantly, forgiveness of our sins, which is exactly what happens when we confess him as Savior.
Are you looking for meaning or a word from God that's relevant to your life? Are you searching for a better understanding of who God is? Well, you're in the right place. You found the Gary Talks About God podcast. This is a weekly podcast that comes to you from the pulpit of Red Bank Missionary Baptist Church in Germantown, North Carolina. The podcast is hosted by Red Bank Senior Pastor Gary Sanders. Now let's get ready to take that walk through God's Word with our pastor, teacher, and friend. Hey, he's that guy we call Gary.
Y'all did a good job. Appreciate all the hard work and reminding us of the Christmas story through song this morning and the gospel message. That was very exciting and wonderful. And this morning, I want to take just a moment and focus in on one of the songs that they sung, "Come, Let Us Worship the King." And the whole point of that song is worshiping Jesus as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And not that I have ever been invited, but should the Queen of England invite me to come meet her, I thought last week I would brush up on the do's and don'ts of what happens when you meet the Queen, when you meet royalty. And so here are some of the things I found. And I noticed actually the do's are much fewer than the don'ts. There's a lot more don'ts. So the do's, I would be required to bow when I met the Queen. When you first meet her, the first time you speak to her, you call her Your Majesty. And then I would do really well in this next part. You call her ma'am after that. I've got that. I've got the ma'am down. And so that's really all you do. Those are the do's. The don'ts are much longer, okay? You don't sit unless she does. You do not eat until she does. You don't touch her. The only caveat there is if she offers to shake your hand, then you respond. You don't turn your back on her, which I find is very funny. If you've ever seen anybody get knighted, what they have to do is she is sitting here on her throne, so she's right there. They'll walk up to her to be knighted, and then when they leave, they actually have to walk backwards before they can turn and exit. Then they turn and exit, and I'm just thinking, that's got to be somewhere somebody has fallen, and that's been really funny throughout the course of history. No selfies, okay? No personal talk. So you don't ask her how her family's doing. You don't ask her, you know, hey, I hear there's some tension between some grandkids. You don't do that. And then this one is funny because it actually was revealed to a story a few years back. You don't speak to her unless you're spoken to, and you only speak in certain manners. She was having a dinner. I don't know if it's, I guess, a royal dinner. And so she's seated at the table, and the rules of etiquette say that where the queen is sitting, the person to her right is the most important. And so she will turn and speak to the person on her right. And the person on her left is supposed to turn to his or her left and speak to the person on her left. Well, on this particular dinner, Lewis Hamilton, who was a famous Formula One racer, was sitting on the queen's left. And so he just turned to the queen and said, started talking to her. And the queen, and I would have loved to, very polite, looked at him and said, "No, you speak that way first, and I'll speak this way, and then I'll come back to you." And you're like, you know, what's it feel like to be put in the place by the queen? I mean, you know, here you are, world famous Formula One racer. Everybody's waiting to talk to you, get your autographs, and the queen's like, "I'll be with you in just a moment." You know, and there's a lot of stuff to do. There's a lot of rules, a lot of formality to meet the queen. I want you to compare with how we're called to meet the queen, the king in Hebrews chapter 4. Just three verses this morning, verse 14 down to 16. It says, "Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin." Now listen to this. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace and the help in the time of need. So there is Jesus on his throne, and we're called to draw near him. And these two verses this morning, just 2 points from these verses that I want you to see that makes him unique from every other king that has ever lived. And the first one is this: King Jesus is approachable. King Jesus is approachable. When you look at the picture of Buckingham Palace, it's splendid, right? I mean, it's beautiful, it's huge, it's massive, it's ornate. But when you step back from the street and you look at it, what's the first thing you see? You see this huge gate going all the way around it that says, "Do not approach." You see the guys with the funny little hats and the red things standing there saying, "Do not approach." And any attempt to approach is going to be met with resistance to remind you, you don't just approach the queen. You don't just approach whoever is in Buckingham Palace. There are rules, and you can't just go barging in to the queen sitting on her throne like you know her. Hebrews right here tells us that we come in to the throne room, that we can approach King Jesus as he sits on his throne. And one of the greatest lies that Satan has ever told is that Jesus is not approachable, that we can't come to him. And this is just, it's simply not true. It says, let us come to him. And it's told that when we come to him, look at how we do that. It says, let us come in confidence. Let us come in confidence. We don't come groveling. We don't come crawling on our hands and knees like a pauper. Instead, we come boldly. We approach his throne because we know that when we approach his throne, he is going to receive us. He will listen to us. He will allow us to be in his presence. And so here is Jesus. Here's the verse in Hebrews telling us that he is approachable and he sits on his throne and he says, come to me. Come boldly and confidently. Now for the Jews that were hearing this, this would have been amazing because the whole point of the temple said to them, God wasn't to be approached. And the Holy of Holies, if you remember, was separated by that really thick curtain where you couldn't go into God's presence. And now that the Messiah has been born, that he died on the cross for our sins and he rose again on the third day. Remember, it told us, it gives us that one little bit of information, the resurrection story, where it says that the temple veil was torn in two from top to bottom. And in that moment, in that tearing, what it said was God is approachable, that Jesus is approachable, that you can come into the throne room and you will be received. We're told that King Jesus is approachable. But then we're told that King Jesus is compassionate. It says that he is sitting on his throne. And it says that we may receive mercy and find grace. The king is compassionate toward his people. Now again, this flies in the face of our perceptions of kings and queens through the years, right? I mean, you think of queens and kings throughout history, and their subjects were not treated well. They didn't care about their subjects. The subjects, the kingdom existed for the king. The kingdom existed, the peasants existed, the people tilled the fields, they brought in game. They did all this for the king, and the king didn't really care about them. All he wanted was for them to do what they were supposed to do to allow him to continue to live in the castle. That was the extent of his concern. But it says here that when we come to Jesus, that he shows us compassion. We read about that when we were doing the narration. He would go and he'd heal the sick. Kings didn't care about the sick. They didn't want to be near the sick. They didn't want the sickness to come off on them. Jesus went around and he was touching the lepers. Other people weren't even getting near the lepers. They were yelling, "Unclean, stay away." Jesus was looking and he sees that, oh, this person, his daughter has died. Let me go to their house and comfort them and raise the daughter. We look and we see Jesus' life and his life from the time that he comes in and starts ministry to the time he goes to the cross. And the cross being the epitome of compassion, it's all about him showing compassion to his people. And the ultimate compassion that he's shown was when he died on the cross for our sins. And so we come to this verse and we see a compassionate Christ who says, come so that you may find mercy and receive grace. And those two things, as we saw last week, are the opposite sides of the same coin. Mercy is not getting what we deserve, and grace is getting what we don't deserve. We're not pushed out. What we deserve is punishment for our sins, and we don't receive that. Instead, we get mercy. What we don't deserve is to be adopted and called His sons, and what He says is, once you come to me and confess me, you are part of my family now. The King who is approachable is compassionate and extends His grace and mercy towards us. And look at how it's presented. Do you notice the assurance in which it's presented? It doesn't say so that you can come and maybe if He's having a good day, He will extend mercy and grace to you. Remember the story in Esther? Remember Esther didn't want to go and approach the king because she didn't know that if she approached the king, she had a shot that he may say, hey, you can't approach me, you need to leave, even though she was the queen, right, and send her out. Here, or if He extended the scepter, she could come. She didn't know what she was going to get. Here, it says that when we approach Jesus, because He is approachable, because He is compassionate, and we come before Him, it says with assurance that He is going to dispense mercy and grace towards us. We don't have to worry about that. It is assured because He is a compassionate King who sits on the throne. And the greatest source of mercy and grace that we need is when it comes to salvation. Because what we see is and what we need is King Jesus not to exercise His authority to punish us for our sins, to send us out from His presence, because He is a holy, godly, righteous King. What we need is King Jesus to exert His authority by declaring us not guilty, so that we can have freedom from our sins, and more importantly, forgiveness of our sins, which is exactly what happens when we confess Him as Savior. So to end this morning the same way that the cantata ended, what will you do with the King who was born to die for you, who now sits on His throne and says, I'm an approachable, compassionate King who wants to extend mercy and grace to you?
You've been listening to the Gary Talks About God podcast. Are you looking for a church? Well, Red Bank Missionary Baptist Church is a community of believers who exist to glorify God and see transformed lives through the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can find us on the web at www.redbankmbc.com. Also, come visit us on Sunday at 8104 Red Bank Road in Germantown, North Carolina. Did you like this podcast? We put one out each and every week, so don't forget to subscribe. We hope this has been a blessing to you, and we thank you for listening.